made from pigeon peas to make bread to sell as food for her family. But these farmers need to grow the crops in order to do it, and they can be helped with the mighty pigeon pea. Now, I'd never heard of pigeon peas, but it looks like a marifat pea. And these are seeds, and they provide a drought-resistant, soil-revitalising, high-protein, low-cost, delicious crop. A donation of £10 can buy a 2-kilogram bag of this seed. The crops can be sold for money or used as a food source. These farmers need the seeds to replant the crops to offset the damage of the cyclone. What can we do to help? Well, Christian Aid encourages us to give, to act, and to pray this Christian Aid week. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. A few weeks ago, I came in a different name, but today I'm very glad to be able to say that I'm representing Christian Aid. And I just want to thank Jean so much for giving such a well-thought-through a talk about Christian Aid, giving us a picture of where we sort of began and where we're heading. And I just want to, I think from a Christian Aid perspective, say thank you so much for all the, for St. Paul's over the years, for the big brekkies and all the initiatives. I just spoke to a different parish member in Belano last week, and she was saying how, you know, it wasn't much that the church was doing. But I just want to say that overall, the churches in Scotland do a mighty job in supporting people like Esther, throughout the year, but also during Christian Aid Week. Our churches raise something close to £1 million per year just for people who are in dire need. And so, as Jean was saying, Esther is a lady like any one of us, and her story is absolutely incredible in the way that she, on a daily basis, has to think about where her food will come from, how she'll get sufficient prices or good prices to sell her peas in a competing market. She's also now the chairwoman, so since she was left destitute in 2019, with some of the partners that we've been working with, she's been able to be the chairwoman for her local cooperative and really doing an amazing work. So on the one hand, I want to say thank you to St. Paul's for everything that you do. I want to say thank you to Jean for the fact that we have someone that we can depend on to spread the news of Christian Aid, and also just the Rainforest Cafe as well for the initiative of doing having the soup this morning. So I think that's everything from Christian Aid, but thank you very much to everyone.
Margaret, would you like to, is there some information? Welcome. Almost missed you.
I'll just give one intimation. next Sunday, the 21st of May, we've got the Same Difference entertainment arranged. So it's from 5:30 p.m. for a fish supper, tea, or sausage supper, whatever you prefer. And our Same Difference group are going to provide entertainment from 6:30. You can come just for the entertainment if you want it, which is £3 for the concert only, but £8 to £10 if you're including your tea as well. Thank you.
Call to worship. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. How awesome are the deeds of God. Come and see what God has done. Let us worship God by singing our first hymn. Let all creation dance.
Creator God, you have planted the seed of love in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives. We long for the brightness of your presence, drawing ever closer to you and to one another, as we join with your people at all times, in all places, to worship and to serve. We confess those frequent times when we have been stony ground, too hard to value the tiny seed, the generous smile, the heartfelt word. You grow us into a community, our Lord. We confess those frequent times when we have been stony ground, too hard to see beyond our selfish desires and for tacitly accepting a world that smothers the dreams of those with less power and wealth. Creator God, once again you have planted the seed of love in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives. We draw near today in the knowledge that your forgiveness waters the seed and nurtures us with the power of your Holy Spirit to grow, to flourish, and to bear the fruit of your justice now and forevermore. And Lord, as we think about the seed that you've planted in our hearts, we pray together the prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us worship God with our next hymn. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts. 662. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
I can't really see you this morning so well. Why do you think it's that case? I just can't see you. It seems to me that you're a bit blurry.
Is it raining
outside? I don't think so. Everything's a bit of a blur for me this morning. I can just see your faces. Well, I think the reason for me not being able to see you is because my glasses are dirty. Look at that. My glasses are so dirty that I just can't see you at all. Well, I can't see you either now. It's not a win-win situation, but I'm going to take my preaching gown and just clean it a little bit. Just a little bit. Oh, there you are. There you are. Oh, do you have a wipe? Do you have got a wipe as well? Can I borrow your wipe after the service, please? So there you go. Now I can see you much better because I've cleaned my glasses. And I bet you that my glasses will be more clear if you can borrow me one of those wipes after the service. Okay, so now I can see you. I've brought... I'll speak to you afterwards. So I brought you to show you this little mirror. This is Lorelei, our baby's mirror. It's one of these funny mirrors. It bends. And when it bends, your shape, so when you look into this mirror, it bends. So it gives you a very funny, your almost your face looks narrow, then your face like looks very broad. So it's one of these funny mirrors. And Lorelei loves playing with this because her face goes like, okay. And you will agree with me that the reason why we can see ourselves in this mirror is because it's shiny. It reflects the image that is projected on this mirror. So you look at it, and this mirror will basically reflect who you are. So it reflects because it's a very shiny mirror. Okay, it needs to... If I use, for example, this cloth, can you see yourself in this cloth?
No.
Sure. Look carefully.
Exactly.
It's not as clear as a mirror. So you won't be able to see yourself on this cloth. It's impossible. But with this wee little funny mirror, you will be able to see yourself because it's shiny and it's because it's clear. So, and to make it more clear, I can show you a little trick. So what you do is you put your vapor of your voice, okay, and then you give it a little bit of a rub. What do you call this as vapor, isn't it? Breath, is that the breath? Sorry, I couldn't find the word now. Breath, so use your breath. There you go, clean it. There you go, that looks a bit better. And you will be able to see yourself even more. So just as I cleaned my glasses to see you better, you can clean a piece of glass or a piece of mirror to be able to see yourself better. In the Word of God teaches us today, it's so important to be clear in our understanding to who we belong. So if I ask you, who do you belong to? Do you have a clear idea who you belong to? Who do you belong to? The family, that's a good answer as well. You belong to your family. You belong to a place, a farm, where you come from. So that's Burnhead Farm. So that's very important. The Bible teaches us to be clear in why we on who we belong to. And I'm glad to hear that you've got a rough idea where you belong to. So one sometimes have to clean your glasses, clean your memory, so you can know exactly who you belong to. Now the Bible teaches us, the Word of God, that yes, we belong to our family. Yes, we belong to a place where we come from. But ultimately, we belong to God. We are children of God. Each one of you have an identity, and you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a home. You have an identity, and that is that you are children of God. So if I wake you up 3 o'clock in the morning, you won't appreciate that, will you? So you sleep in the bed. I'm like, wake up. Wake up. And I ask you at 3 o'clock in the morning, who do you belong to? Then you say, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm his son. I'm his child.
and I've got an identity in God. I belong in heaven where my ultimate identity is. Amen.
I don't even belong in heaven.
Huh? Yeah.
You belong in heaven.
So you belong in heaven through faith. Okay, so let's worship with our next hymn. Sing for God's glory that colors the dawn of creation.
First reading is from Matt 17, reading from verse 16 to 31. In Athens. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see the city still awake. So he reasoned in the synagogue of both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day. Those who have to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with them. Some of them asked, "What is this Babylon trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." He said this because Paul was preaching the good news of Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to the meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing strange ideas to our ears, and we'd like to know what they mean." All their opinions and foreigners who lived there spent the time doing nothing, talking Lord who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of the heaven and earth. There's not a pleasant temple built by human hands. And he's not shared by human hands as if he's needed his. Rather, he himself is everyone's light and bread and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth and be marked out. There are a bunch of times in history and the boundaries of their land. God did this so that they would seek him for happiness, proud of him, and find him. Though he had got far from any one of us, but in him we live and move and our being, as some of our poems have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think of the bright deeds of gold or silver. An image made by human design and skill. In the past, God before looked such ignorance, but now he commands all people to ever live in pain. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this evidence by raising him from the dead. Our second reading is 1 Peter 3, reading from verse 13 to 22. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good, even if you suck from what is right in your flesh? Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened. In your heart, the fear of Christ is born. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. But it is better, if God's will, to suffer for doing good than doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, and the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Amen. May God bless you as the reading of his word.
There was so much evil in the world that God decided to destroy all living things on land. The destruction happened through a massive flood of water coming from below and pouring from above. There was just one man called Noah that found favor in the sight of God. God instructed Noah and his family to build an ark so that they may be saved from the destruction that would follow. Noah, in a sense, got a warning to prepare for the destruction of the world. Noah and his family obeyed, and the consequence was that they were saved. If they did not obey, they would have died as well. The story of Noah illustrates how water was used to destroy. But the same substance, the same water, saved the life of Noah. On the one hand, water destroyed, on the other hand, water saved and cleansed. The story tells how evil was washed away from the earth with water. The same waters that destroyed evil became a means of saving the righteous Noah. Peter, in our second reading from the Bible, makes reference to this story of Noah to illustrate the significance of baptism. So he uses the story of Noah to explain the significance of baptism. Baptism, the washing with water, is there to give a person a good conscience. When being baptized with water, it is a way of clearing our conscience in front of God. To have a clear conscience makes reference to the internal ability to choose between right and wrong. If one can be reassured that the right choices were made, that equals having a clear conscience. So if you go through life and you make wrong decisions along the path, then you become, your conscience will start to bother you. But if you go through life and you make the right decisions and you are truthful to yourself and to your context, that helps you to have a clear conscience. This right and wrong is gives the ability for us to have a good conscience or a conscience that maybe one can't say bad conscience, but a conscience that maybe makes you sit uneasily. Baptism then is to clear the conscience, meaning it was the correct choice, making us right with God. So when we decide to be baptized, when we decide to be washed with water, that is the correct decision. And that enables us to have a clear conscience, making us right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. To be baptized clears us from having a bad conscience. It gives us a clear conscience. Having a clear conscience through baptism does not equal a pain-free life. The paradox that Peter is referring to is during suffering, the righteous are blessed. It's a deep paradox, this. The righteous, if they suffer, they are actually blessed. We are blessed when suffering in Christ. A paradox. This thought is reassuring, but also strange. It is strange knowing we are blessed if all of our reality is stating otherwise. This being blessed in times of disaster is a teaching that comes direct from the Lord Jesus. Remember, Peter was a disciple of Jesus. And so in the Matthew Gospel, you hear of Jesus teaching about being blessed, even though things seem to be disastrous. And Peter is taking that same content and he is explaining he's motivating or reminding his congregation, listen, you are blessed, even though it doesn't seem like it, you are blessed from heaven. So it is a strange idea. So it's a really strange idea, this of being blessed during a disaster or times of challenges. But I do think that the Word of God is encouraging us amidst hardship. This teaching is a way of encouraging us. It is the Word of God stating that our blessedness is not from this reality, but rather from us belonging to God. Our connection to heaven, us being chained to heaven, that gives us reassurance. That's the place where we belong to, and not from this world. As we belong to God, we do not have to be afraid, because we already have a home with God. In the circumstances of life, we may continue to honor Christ, as this is our place of belonging. We worship God because it's a way of communicating that, no, we don't belong in this world. We belong to God, and God belongs to us. Interestingly, Peter then states that we need to prepare, we need to be prepared to explain the reason for us having hope. He makes it this very clear in the reading, is we have to be ready to explain in a crystal clear manner why we have hope. In other words, have it clear in our minds why we have hope in God. I do not believe that it is an easy task to always have clarity of mind. Some topics are so difficult to comprehend and also very difficult to communicate. Also, when suffering from anxiety, the fight and flight function in our bodies makes it extremely hard to have clarity of mind. And if one have the ability to have clarity of mind, it's such a vital tool to have, to clearly understand, clearly know what to do. Although it is true to have clarity of mind can be difficult, and even more so if it needed to be communicated, it is difficult, but the Word of God is motivating us to have some kind of idea, some clear understanding for the reason in having hope. Even though it's very simplistic, it's so important to have some idea why we have hope in God. When all the world around us does not have hope, why do we as Christians have hope? And Peter is motivating us to have clarity on why, to have an answer for the why. We have hope because of our blessedness is not from this reality, but rather from us belonging to God. We are blessed during all circumstances because we belong to heaven. We belong to God. We belong to God, and in all the turmoil of life, our hope is in heaven above. This is the reason why we have this deep sense of hope in us. And it's that type of hope that we want to share and communicate to people that doesn't have it. Because there are people that live through life hopelessly. And that's a very, very bad place to be at. To have no hope in your life, I can't think of anything worse than that. And as Christians, we say, no, we do have hope. And that hope is that we belong to God. And it's that hope that we want to share and communicate. I think the more challenging parts is communicating our hope in a gentle and respectful way. Because this is, for me, quite interesting that Peter is saying, listen, you need to know why. But when you communicate it, do it in a respectful and gentle way. I find that to be quite hard. How do you communicate the hope of God in a respectful and gentle way? Not Bible bashing, but in a sincere way. How do you communicate that? That's something to consider in this week, is how do we communicate the deep sense of hope that we have in us? The question is, how do we communicate our deep sense of hope in such a way that our conscience is clear? How do we do that? Peter states that it is far better to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil. Suffer, yes, but make sure you suffer for doing good and not for if you've done evil. Do good and act with goodness when communicating our deep sense of hope. So in a sense, when you communicate the hope that we have, make sure that goodness prevails. Make sure that goodness prevails when we communicate the hope that we have. Communicate in such a way that goodness is upheld. Noah received an instruction from God to build an ark. He decided to follow the instructions and also to have faith in God's command. So he followed God's commandment and he done it. His actions must have looked very strange to the onlookers. What were they thinking, seeing Noah constructing a boat in the middle of nowhere? What were their thoughts, this individual just building this ark, this huge boat in the middle of nowhere? Maybe Noah did communicate with clarity to them the reasons why he has hope, why he's building his ark. Maybe he did tell them about God's instructions and about their sinful nature and that they need to repent. We don't know if he'd done that. But what we do know was that he continued to build and construct the ark with a deep sense of faith. the story doesn't tell us, but I do get the impression that the story doesn't, Noah is not 100% guaranteed that it will rain. So he got this inner, he got this instruction from God and he built the ark without knowing that the rain will really, really come. His actions demonstrated his deep sense of hope. It could have been that he did not have many words to say to his onlookers, but his good actions showed his inner hope. His actions of building the ark showed that he had hope. He continued even though it seemed to be so unlikely. There was so much evil in the world that God decided to destroy all living things on land. May we be like Noah, in that when all seems to decay away, we continue to have faith, be clear about our hope, and communicate such hope, this inner hope, with our actions or our words. Amen. Let us worship with our next hymn, God gave me eyes so I could see.
We pray for the people in Malawi. Help them to keep strong in their adversity as they work hard to restore crops and recover from the damage that the cyclone has caused. We pray for Jen and Esther. Keep them safe and strong as they work hard to make a better life for their families. We pray for the fundraisers across the UK who are working hard this Christian Aid Week. keep them committed in their efforts. We pray for our own church's efforts in fundraising. Help us to show the love of Jesus as we support the work that Christian Aid does in the world. In the name of Jesus, hear our prayer. Amen.
Offerings will now be received, and then also just a reminder to take one of these red booklets from Christian Aid. It's a bucket appeal. You will find the bucket at the back with the little envelopes. You can fill your details in, donate money, and there was asked that as many as possible. So we're looking for a lot of donations, please. But thank you so much. Lord, as we are in a season of Easter, we bend our knees in front of you, acknowledging your greatness. We are deeply grateful to you, therefore we bring our offerings to you. Blessed Lord, as we hope that your Holy Spirit will multiply the little that we have given you. Amen. Bring to the Lord a glad new song. Let us worship God. about Christian Aid after the Bible has left the sanctuary. Then we have hope in God and we belong to Him. Through our actions and words, gently communicate the hope that we have to others. Always uphold goodness and keep your conscience clear in front of God. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.
No need to travel. Our team. Bread prices up by 50% in just 3 months? Our tasty locally produced rolls could be the solution. Esther is here to serve you delicious rolls straight from her cooperative's oven. No need to travel. Our team will come to you. Esther's rolls are baked using flour made from locally grown pigeon peas. So there's no expensive fuel-related costs to hike up the price. And no need for costly imported wheat. Thanks to pigeon peas' awesome drought-resistant properties, everyone can enjoy them when other crops fail. But hurry, Esther's rolls are selling like hotcakes. They are loved by adults and children alike. Esther's little grandson, Nespo, can't get enough. Your family will love them too. Give today and help more families have a better future. Visit caweek.org.